And Casper Ruud, a good embrace at the net, a good chat between the two.
Il se qualifie pour les quarts de finale, Casper Ruud.
3.5 hours, Casper Ruud, a smile on his face, has made it through and made it back into the quarterfinals where he will face Novak Djokovic. So congratulations to Casper Ruud.
I mentioned how passive he was on a couple of points in that previous game when he was serving for the match, but that was a terrific, firm, deep return. It set the tone, led to the error. Is this the moment?
Match point for Sasha Zverev. Dimonor serves and nets off the first serve.
Of course, he double-faulted the last time he was broken.
Second serve goes deep and the forehand is spun in. The inside-out forehand sits up to be flattened out deep off the backhand from Zverev. Zverev with his backhand down the line. Sliding forehand cross-court to the forehand up the line from the German. Backhand cross-court from the Australian. Cross-court goes the German. The slice from Dimonor. The inside-out forehand from Zverev at match point. Forehand cross-court on the angle and then backhand very deep from Dimonor, who slides into his backhand cross-court to the service line. Backhand slipped up and then the slice up the line from Dimonor. Down the line with the forehand and into the net. Goes Alex Dimonor, and Sasha Zverev has reached his fourth consecutive Roland Garros semi-final. 1 minute shy of 3 hours on the match clock. A little exchange between the two. There's a 6-4, 7-6, 6-4 win. He is back in the semi-finals. He will face Casper Ruud. It's been a great week or so for Alex Dimonor. His breakout season when it comes to the clay. So many positives for Dimonor to take away, but it is Sasha Zverev who moves through.
Sasha, congratulations. One more night. It seems like you are the night session guy, but you've been fighting so hard, back to back, five sets matches. Today against Dimonor, unbelievable player. But this is, you don't win here, you don't win this tournament or these matches these last few days. You won this through many years of working, work ethic. Can you explain us, please? Because this is unreal what you've been doing. Good job, Sasha Zverev.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, everybody in the press and everybody keeps on asking me, what do I do for recovery? And my answer is always very simple. You don't recover after matches. You recover in the off-season, and you do the work in the off-season. That tennis becomes easy. And I think for me, I have a mindset that you have to work harder than everyone else to be the best player. And I think the best players are all doing that. For me, I like to work to my absolute limit. And if I do that, then playing five sets all of a sudden is not that difficult. And I've been doing that over many, many years now, and you know, I'm happy it's paying off, still paying off, and happy to be in another semi-finals. Hopefully I can win one.
Long rallies, difficult to win points, but there was one, a specific one, in the second set, tiebreak. You were down 4-0, then you came back, and at 5-all, you played one of the longest rallies of the whole tournament. Can you take us to that moment, how your heart was beating and how your legs were burning? Because we are sitting outside and it's easy to say, oh, run a little bit more. But are you exhausted on that point? Are you about to die, or you still feel...
No, I mean, luckily I have a coach who is my father, who couldn't care less how I feel on the practice court. So since I'm 3 years old, it was always, okay, run here, run there, run for 4 hours straight. And he sometimes forgets that I'm 2 meters tall and I can hit a serve 230 kilometers an hour. But he definitely taught me the Spanish way, you know, running for everything, putting the balls back in the court. And, you know, sometimes it pays off. I wish I would be more aggressive sometimes. But if I'm winning, I'm happy. And I'm in the semifinals, and that's all that matters.
But your work ethic, it's a real example for every single player on the tour. And now you're here, as you said, again in the semifinals. You have the experience. You're enjoying being here in Paris. We see you smiling. This is unbelievable, Sasha, because you bring so many good things to the sport. Because when you see people like fighting like you and like Deminor did tonight, I think it's very good to show that this is not just about tennis, it's also about heart.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I said it many times, this sport has given me everything. And it has given me the life that I have, it's given me my first love, it's given me heartbreaks, it's giving me the biggest joyful moments, it's giving me, you know, the most painful moments. And if I can give back to the sport in any way, and if I can give back, you know, to the people watching and have a little bit of joy on their faces, I'm happy about that. And I hope I can continue doing that, and as long as I do, I'll keep playing, and that's the most important thing.
We wish you the best for the semi-finals. I hope the best man can win. Sasha, Casper, Gianni, Carlitos, good luck to all of you.
Thank you.
Sasha Zverev qualifié pour la demi-finale de Roland Garros.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Sasha Zverev is through to the semi-finals for the fourth year running. Casper Ruud for the third year in a row. And they met at this stage 12 months ago. It was remarkably one-sided on that occasion. Ruud won 6-3, 6-4, 6-love. I guess you could say that Zverev was still, to a degree, feeling his way back after the horrendous injury that he suffered in the semi-finals here 2 years ago against Rafael Nadal. He certainly wasn't at his best. I think it's going to be a bit closer tonight, lady. I know I'm going out on a real limb here, but I'm thinking it certainly isn't going to be 3-4 in love this time around.
I think precedent and common sense would suggest it's going to be a little bit closer, yes. You know, the head-to-head, as we said, 2-2, it's not... Ruud's had the measure of Zverev in the last couple of matches, and as you said, here in particular, a year ago... There was a lot going on for Zverev. There always does seem to be a lot going on for Zverev. But on that occasion, of course, back on the court, back in a semi-final, 1 year on from having that horrific ankle injury that we saw against Rafael Nadal in the previous semi-final the previous year. So that was that on his mind. You know, as you said, he was relatively recently coming back, having recovered from that injury. So there were all sorts of things going on. And we know what Ruud will do. Ruud is the most obstinate opponent you could possibly wish to have. You know, he will stick in there, he will move, he will run for fun. And that's what Zverev knows he can expect this evening.
Yeah, plenty going on in front of us at the moment. Our four friends with the hose are doing their bit. The lines have been painted. Balls are being put where they should be put. And it's worth keeping an eye out on the crowd, because there are two different tickets for men's semi-finals. So you can buy a ticket for the first, ticket for the second. You can get a ticket for both. And in that case, sometimes I think people are having to move from one seat to another. And because of all that, we are not going to have players walking out on court until around 22 minutes past the hour. So quarter of an hour or so before we see Ruud and Zverev appear. If you are just joining us on Radio Roland Garros, well, you've missed 4 hours and 9 minutes of Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz, with the Spaniard finally proving to be the marginally tougher player on the day. And of course, victory, as the sign says on the Chatrier stand, belongs to the most tenacious. Carlos was when it came to the fifth and final set. We have a bonus for you, though, because while we're waiting for the players to come out, we're going to nip across to Court Simone Mathieu, where the women's doubles semi-final is into a deciding set. It's Caroline Dolheid and Desiree Kravchek against Coco Gauff and Katerina Siniakova. And, of course, those two are mighty experienced when it comes to doubles. All four players are. Kravchek was in the mixed doubles final yesterday. She lost alongside Neil Skupski, but she's been hugely successful. Well, Dolheid and Kravchek won the first set 7-5. Back came Gauff and Siniakova to win the second 6-4. And they've got the advantage in the decider, because the combo of Dolheid and Kravchek are serving at 2-4. So this is bubbling up quite nicely, Lady Ian. As I mentioned, we've got some very, very experienced performers when it comes to top-class doubles on the court.
0-0.
Yeah, it's two class pairings out there. And what a bonus for anyone who happened to be passing Court Simone Mathieu. What a great lineup to be able to see this on the final Friday of Roland Garros 2024. Coco Gauff, of course, such a superstar, but worth remembering, she is a very, very capable doubles player. We know what she could do in singles. We saw her go out in the semi-finals of singles yesterday to Iva Świątek. Not her best day, I think, probably by her own admission.
Has it?
The calibre of opponent and perhaps the occasion to a degree, and certainly I think her head-to-head record against Świątek all playing into her mind. She got a little bit emotional through that match, and this is a good chance for her to get out there, still play for a title here at Roland Garros, and I'm sure she has every intention of playing doubles for the USA in the Olympics.
She's
always played doubles throughout her career, actually, and of course been in a final here in doubles before as well. Normally plays with Jessica Pegula, who's still recovering from the neck and shoulder injury which kept her out of Roland Garros. The news sounded a bit more optimistic from Pegula, didn't it, that she was trying to get back on court and felt confident of playing on grass. So Gauff and Siniaková not doing badly.
They are not doing badly, and the cheers you heard a few moments ago were for a brilliant Gauff return, and now Siniaková's got in on the act with a terrific return winner, and that brings up more break points for the combination.
Well, if you're looking for a spare doubles partner, Ekaterina Siniaková's not a bad shout, is she? Of course, had that long-time, incredibly successful doubles pairing with Barbora Krejcová. I haven't said her name for such a long time.
It's a tough name. I struggle for years with, was it Krejcová? How do you say it? Krejcová.
Krejcová, thank you very much. I was having a moment. It's been a long day already.
We
haven't started work yet.
You wait. Listen to what she's saying in about 5 hours from now, everybody.
Or don't. But that was a great pairing as the double fault.
Second serve from Krejcová was halfway to the baseline.
Yeah, it was a unfortunate moment to do that. There's no good moment to double fault. There's definitely no good moment to do a double fault that extreme. And that gives the break to Siniaková and Gauff. I was just going to say, Siniaková, of course, got to world number one in doubles. So, as I said, if you're looking around for perhaps a doubles partner, it's not a bad one to pick.
I would think she's one of the very best out there. And it's interesting, you mentioned Krejcová, you mentioned Gauff, the fact that a couple of years ago she played in both the singles and the doubles final. Krejcová played in the singles and doubles final, was it the year before that? She won both of them.
Yeah, 2021.
And this year, Jasmine Paolini is through to the final of both the singles and at the doubles. Paolini and Sara Errani victorious in the other semi-final earlier today. So they will play the winners of this match. What a fortnight for Jasmine Paolini and for Italy, of course, although there's been disappointment today with the defeat of Jannik Sinner at the hands of Carlos Alcaraz. But Gauff and Siniaková are poised, you would think, for victory. Serving for the match at 5-2, it's the tall Siniaková who is on serve. She goes to the forehand of the left-handed Krejcová, who now hammers a ball down the middle of the court. A little bit of a miss hit. No, she's found the court, has Siniaková, and now she's waiting for a very high ball to come down, and when it does, it's wide.
Just as a reminder, if you've just tuned into Radio Roland Garros and you're wondering if we've gone mad and we're just ignoring Casper Ruud and Alexander Zverev, we're not. They're coming on in about 8 or 9 minutes' time.
Oh, that is a terrific return from Dolheide.
Gaza
hammered that backhand up the line.
So while we bring you this women's doubles semi-final, and you're looking ahead to that men's semi-final, and you want to give us your predictions. Who do you think's going to win? How many sets? Why? You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. You can tweet us @radio_RG. Who do you think would be the more difficult opponent for Carlos Alcaraz in the final?
Yeah, good question. Some good defence from Gauff at the net. Now Siniaková has gone deep to Krejcová, who puts up a high ball, and Goff's there at the net to hammer it away.
I love Siniaková's fire. She's got a lot of fire in the belly. And some players, all players are competitive, all players are hardwired to win. You don't get to this level without it. But some players express that. Siniakova's face. She's like a warrior princess, isn't she, out there? Goff a little bit more subdued, but every bit is competitive.
Yeah, but Goff's bouncing around as well. She's really enjoying this combination. And why not? They're a couple of points away from the final. Second serve for Siniakova to Dolheid, who hammers another forehand return this time. And now she's going to go onto her backhand side. Goff's there to block the pass. Shortish ball that's... a shortish ball that Kravchuk didn't take full advantage of. And then a wonderful lob by Siniakova wins the point and brings up match points.
Yeah, just phenomenal, crafty, clever, artful play from Ekaterina Siniakova. A lob hit by somebody who knows what it's like to be the best doubles player in the world.
Hour and 57 minutes on the clock. And here's the match point on the Siniakova serve. To Kravchuk, it's a really good serve, and Goff comes in behind it, actually falls over having put away the volley. She's okay, she clambers back up to her feet and hugs her partner. They're heading into the final. A terrific comeback. And Goff and Siniakova win 5-7, 6-4, 6-2.
Big, big smiles. There's plenty of sunshine around today at Roland Garros, which, as you may have gathered, was a bit unusual in the first week. But these two, as they take the applause of the crowd, really lighting up Court Simone and Mathieu, grinning from ear to ear.
And that should be one heck of a final against Paolini and Irani. I mean, this is bubbling up nicely. I know we had some awful weather during the first week, but by the way, if you are just joining us, today is absolutely sensational. Barely a cloud in the sky. Seriously hot out in the sun as well.
Definitely the hottest day we've had so far at this tournament. Yes, as Marcus was saying, wall-to-wall sunshine all day. Starting to obviously cool down a little bit. We are 17 minutes past 7 local time here in Paris. That will slightly affect the temperature, a little bit cooler, will affect the conditions. No sign of the roof being used. Thank goodness. We love the roof, but we've had enough of it and we don't want to see it again.
Yes. I don't think we will. I haven't looked closely at the forecast for the weekend.
Nothing.
And we know you're not allowed to talk about weather over any period of time.
Ever again.
Ever again. Yeah,
and that's perfectly reasonable.
And just going back to your question, and yep, as Eleanor said, do get in touch with us. We'd love to get your predictions for this second semi-final at radio_RG, at radio_RG. Email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr. In terms of who's likely to give Carlos Alcaraz more of a challenge, just looking at the head-to-head records, well, Casper Ruud's played the Spaniard 4 times and lost to him 4 times. Zverev has played Alcaraz on 9 occasions and actually leads their head-to-head 5-4. So they've crammed in an awful lot of matches since their first meeting in Acapulco back in 2021.
Well, Rob says, I love the bonus coverage. Yeah, we love it too. We love a bit of doubles here. And that's the nice thing about the latter stages of Roland Garros every year is we get an opportunity to focus on the doubles, focus on the wheelchair matches, and just bring you everything that's going on around the grounds here, because it's never just about singles, is it, at a Grand Slam. Keith says, loving the coverage from Washington, D.C. Zverev is the tougher opponent, as if he's serving big and with a high first serve percentage, he can take the racket out of Carlos's hands.
Yeah,
possibly literally.
Yes, yes. I mean, just to go into a bit more detail about those respective head-to-heads, Ruud 4-0 down to Alcaraz. One meeting on clay. I mean, that was a while back. That was in Marbella in 2021. Alcaraz won 6-2, 6-4. And of all the 9 meetings between Zverev and Alcaraz, 3 have been on clay. And Alcaraz actually leads 2-1 in that regard. The one victory for Zverev was here a couple of years ago in the quarterfinals when he came through 6-4, 6-4, 4-6, 7-6 in a terrific 4-set tiebreak. He won that by 9-7. Alcaraz came out on top when they met in the Madrid final in 2022, and he also beat Zverev in Madrid in 2023. That was a round of 16 match, and on that occasion he won 6-1, 6-2. So who knows, but Zverev has been very, very tough. He's had to come through a couple of 5-setters, notably a double breakdown to Talon Griekspoor before turning things around.
Yeah, Greek Sport doing a great job of mixing things up against Sasha Zverev, playing his game of serve volley very effectively. And I think, but for a little bit of a loss of belief at just the wrong moment from Greek Sport, I think Zverev might not be here today. We've got balls. Young gentleman walking out with the ball. Ball's on his back in a kind of tubular bag, if you like. Looks a bit like a mini racket bag. Got a little smattering of applause. They often look a little bit sheepish as they have to walk out with the balls because they don't quite know what to do with themselves. But great job from that young ball boy there. Lizzie says, I want Ruud to win so badly. Do you think he's got a decent shot? He's definitely got a decent shot, Lizzie. I'd say he's got... I mean, it's... For me, this is about a 60-40, I feel, in Ruud's favour.
In Ruud's favour. I mean, here's some more reasons to think he's going to do extremely well. Just have a look at the most clay court wins since 2020. Top of that list is Casper Ruud. He's won 113 matches since the start of 2020 on this surface, losing 30. Stefanos Tsitsipas is actually in second place with 85 wins. Carlos Alcaraz, third, up to 75 after his victory today. Sasha Zverev is fourth on the list with 69. And you find Novak Djokovic in fifth place on 65. And most wins in 2024, top of the list, Casper Ruud with 39. He only won 40 in the whole of last year. Sasha Zverev's in third place. Level actually with Jannik Sinner. They both won 33 matches. Sinner's only lost three after today. Zverev's lost nine. And the top five there is made up of Alex de Minaur, who had a great 10 days or so here as well, and Hubie Hurkacz, who didn't have such a great time of things. I think was struggling a little bit physically when he went out. Now, the music is, this is a bit atmospheric, Lady E.
It is. It's that you can hear almost the heartbeat building up to Casper Ruud and Alexander Zverev walking out onto court Philippe Chatrier. There's a sense of anticipation. People still trying to find their seats.
Match comptant pour les demi-finales du tournoi masculin Roland Garros 2024.
You can see both men in the ante room, if you like, waiting to be called. They will walk up the stairs one after the other. And they will be held at the top of the stairs.
Ruud's on his way.
Wait for their name to be called. He's on his way up the stairs. They're quite steep stairs, but I think he'll manage.
I hope so. He's the lower-ranked player, which is why he comes out first, seeded seven at these championships. 25 years of age, born in Oslo. Zverev is the fourth seed, 2 years older at 27.
Trois finales en Grand Chelem, dont deux ici à Roland Garros. Il est norvégien, voici Casper Ruud.
He's had fun with that one, hasn't he?
Well, Casper Ruud is aiming to become the seventh man in the Open era to reach three consecutive finals at Roland Garros.
And he's doing a great job of just guiding very small mascot, young boy who's there, Spirit holding his hand, telling him where to stand.
And now, successfully negotiating the staircase, is Sasha Zverev, who waits just off stage for his name to be called.
Déjà une finale en Grand Chelem à l'US Open, champion olympique à Tokyo, il est allemand.
Who was clearly very keen to get out on court. He appeared before his name was mentioned. He's walking alongside a very elegantly dressed mascot who's got dark hair, and she's decked out in a very elegant outfit. Zverev's wearing the same top that we've become accustomed to. It's predominantly yellow at the front, white at the back with some black trim, black shorts, white socks, and black and orange shoes. Casper Ruud is in green. I hope we're not going to argue about the shade of green he's wearing.
It's green.
Thank goodness for that.
Green will do me.
And the two mascots have now walked out, bought the coin toss.
Rude wearing, as we've established. Green t-shirt top, cream shorts, cream headband.
Yeah.
Hello, Alexander, Hugo, and Salome. They're going to help us today. Hi. So can I please ask you for a photo facing this way all together? Thank you. So the guys, the conditions are the same as in all the previous rounds. The clock will be in front of us and then on the two boards. If you want me to check the mark, let me know. When I'm not sure, I'll just go. Any questions? Salome is going to do the coin toss. Alex, what is your choice? It's player or a ball?
Player,
his call. It is a ball.
I serve.
Good match.
Casper Ruud wins the coin toss and elects to serve. And the voice you could hear there, our umpire for this evening, Marijana Belovic. Well done, the two mascots. They head off. So does the fellow who brought the balls out. He's going off with the bag. I hope he's remembered to leave the balls on court. There's certainly one there because the players are beginning their knock-up. Looking to settle as much as they can. Of course, they have got experience. Eleanor, I've mentioned that it's Zverev's fourth semi-final in a row here. It's Ruud's third. The problem for Sasha is that he hasn't got past this stage, and he's also got bad memories of an Australian semi-final defeat at the hands of Daniil Medvedev. I just wonder mentally how much that might weigh on his shoulders tonight.
I think those matches will always weigh on your shoulders. He's also lost a Grand Slam final at the US Open, of course, in 2020 from two sets up. But I would assume that he's worked hard on learning from those experiences rather than seeing them as something which will weigh him down, but seeing them as something which will help him get better. I mean, that is the champion's mindset and the athlete's mindset. And although he hasn't won a Grand Slam title, he is a champion. He was champion very recently, of course, in Rome, winning the title here. So he'll have lots of confidence. He's played a lot of tennis at this tournament. And, you know, that's a win in the sense that he got through those matches and he'll have the confidence of coming through those difficult moments. You mentioned Talon Griespor. That, I think, at that occasion, he was extremely close to going out of the tournament. Very close. I think Simon and I did commentary on that match and we were both convinced that that was very gone. So he can count himself fortunate for having that reprieve. He can also count himself as resilient for coming through those matches. But, you know, physically, is that going to affect him, having played so much tennis?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. He's certainly had to work hard. Casper hasn't exactly been putting his feet up, but with the walkover following the unfortunate withdrawal of Novak Djokovic, he's gone 4 days without a competitive match. It's just guesswork as to how it's going to affect both of them.
Well, that can be a positive and it can be a negative, can't it, as we hear Casper Ruud's name read out again.
We can't adopt that Ruud version with ball-by-ball commentary, otherwise we'll constantly be a point behind.
Also, I'm not sure we can carry it off with the same Gallic panache.
No. One other thing that I think it's important to be brought up to date with regards to Sasha Zverev, and I'm sure you've probably heard that there's been a very serious accusation made against him. And that case has today been discontinued. BBC reporting that there's been a settlement between the defendant, that is, of course, Zverev, and the complainant, his ex-partner. The settlement is not part of the trial. The court, not part of the settlement. Zverev was given a penalty order last October. He was fined €450,000 after being accused of physically abusing his ex-partner. He denied the claim. He lodged an objection against the order, which resulted in a public trial. That trial started on the 31st of May. It was due to resume today, but both Zverev and his former girlfriend, who he has a child with, have agreed to end proceedings. And the quote at the end of it all says, "The decision is not a verdict, and it is not a decision about guilt or innocence. One decisive factor for the court decision was that the witness has expressed her wish to end the trial."
Yes, I'm sure that will be a relief to Zverev going into this semi-final. He's a human being after all, and you know that I'm sure will have been something that's taken up a lot of time and a lot of headspace for him.
And a woman.
And so it is relevant. We haven't talked about it a lot on Radio Roland Garros, but it is relevant to his state of mind, I think, going into this semi-final, because a big issue in his life has been resolved today to some degree.
Yeah. And presumably after this match, certainly if he wins, and he'll go into do press almost straight away because it's going to get quite late in the evening, he's going to have to face a couple of questions about that. But it has been parked, it has been settled, and we will focus on the business in hand because the warm-ups are complete. Zverev sitting down, having one more quick drink of something. Rude's already up. He's going across with his towel to put it in the box just by his baseline at this near end. We're in our usual position on the fifth level of the media centre. We've got a wonderful view of everything in front of us. The stadium is filling up slowly, but it's a sellout, and it should be an absolute cracker for the right to play Carlos Alcaraz in the final of Roland Garros 2024. It's Rude to get us underway. And his first serve is into the net, which gives an opportunity for quite a tall ball boy with a cap on to race across, pick up the ball one-handed, take up his position at the back of the court. The second serve is to the backhand of Sasha Zverev. It was deep right back down the middle of the court. Now Rude's got an opportunity to hammer an inside-out forehand, but he misses.
Well, the crowd already starting to try and get involved.
Yes. I mean, if that's what we're getting after one point. Love 15. Rude looking to go wide to the Zverev backhand, but he put that serve into the tram lines.
He's got very fetching orange wristbands, says Casper Rude. Just a flash of colour on an otherwise quite sober outfit.
Forehand now cross-court from Sasha Zverev as this point gets underway. Forehand to forehand. Of course, Zverev, big man, 6 foot six, has got plenty of power off both wings. Now he's gone deep on his backhand side. And again to the double hander of Rude. That just slithered off his baseline. He got the ball back into play, and then Zverev goes long.
We should also tell you what Alexander Zverev is wearing. Black shorts and a white and bright yellow top. It's the same top he's worn throughout the tournament.
Well, it might not be exactly the same one.
Well, one would hope not, actually.
No.
I would hope he's probably done some laundry. I would think his clothing manufacturer would give him more than one.
Yeah, I mean, it could be his lucky one that he has washed every night so that he puts it back on again, but I don't think we're going to find out about that, to be honest. Ace from... No, is it an ace? Well, the umpire's come down to have a look. It was down the middle, and she says no. Sorry, Casper. Just missed. She clambers back into her chair. She's not wearing her jacket. No surprises. It's warm out there. The second serve to the backhand of Zverev, who stands a long way back to receive, of course. Then he hammers one across court on his double-hander. Then the big forehand, and that's a winner. And that's a pretty good early sign that Sasha Zverev's in the mood for this.
Well, it'd be interesting to see Zverev's tactics today, because I've felt in a couple of his previous matches here at Roland Garros, he's been a little bit passive, hasn't necessarily gone on the attack. But I think that showed that he might be inclined against Rude, who's such a good counterpuncher, to deep. Go on the attack a little bit more.
Yeah, well, that was a deep, deep return. Nothing passive about that. He's in control of the point until he plays a backhand approach into the net.
The backhand for Zverev in particular, when he gets it right, and he didn't on that occasion, is a significant weapon. Serve, we know all about, as you said, he's serving from 6 foot six, lots of power, lots of accuracy, but that backhand I'll be watching to see where he can damage Rude.
30 all, and Rude's going out wide to the forehand, cross court from both players, and then the angle is changed by Rude. Deep, good depth on his backhand, and he goes down the middle of the court. Zverev is a cross court on his forehand. He's going to change that now to the backhand side of the Norwegian. Even more power from the German. There again, just biding his moment, looking for the opportunity. The off forehand to the double hander of Ruud, which sails long. And Zverev has a break point after just 3 minutes of the contest. And hello to Joseph, Terry, Brian and Matt, listening from Lorna Linda, California, which is 40 miles west of Indian Wells. And they say Zverev has so much momentum and confidence coming into this match. Straight sets win today over Ruud to set up an epic final on Sunday against Carlos. Well, this could be the perfect start for him. He's returning on the backhand to the double hander of Ruud. They continue to exchange on their backhand wings. Then the off forehand from Zverev. Slice from Ruud, goes over it again on his backhand. Then the forehand down the line from Zverev. Deep from Ruud, a slight miss hit. Well, a real miss hit in the end on the forehand side from Zverev. And Ruud saves the break point.
Well, Marie in St. Kitts says, I think Casper in four. Why? He's the ultimate clay warrior. And Zverev has played quite a lot of tennis already. Hard to say who'd be tougher for Carlos. I think having overcome a terrible start against Sinner, Alcaraz wins it all. Thank you, Marie. We'll see.
Yeah. Keep your predictions coming, your observations. We love hearing from you. And that'll be the case right till the end of the fortnight. That's a really good first serve from Ruud on the stretch. Zverev got the ball back into play, but Ruud nipped in and hammered away a forehand winner. Red Sox Devil, regular contributor from Perth in Australia, says those stairs the players climb up need to be renamed the Simon Camber's retirement stairs, after Simon admitted he'd be cooked by the time he got up onto the court.
They'll put a stair lift in.
They'd need to for Simon. Ruud misses with his first serve. Red Sox reckons that Casper's going to win in four. He thinks that Sasha may be a little low on fuel. So, very mixed opinions from everybody, and that's what makes this, well, both the semi-finals so fascinating. It was impossible to call the first one, and I have no idea who's going to win this one. I know who's going to win the first game, though. It's Casper Ruud, because Zverev's backhand has gone long. A break point came and went for him. He walks rather thoughtfully back towards his chair. He won't even stop at his chair. Ruud has for a quick drink. Of course, you change ends after the first game. You are not meant to do any refueling after the first game, but just about everybody does.
They do, and it's one of those things that if we want to speed tennis up and look at ways in which we can make matches shorter, make finishes earlier, and that there are little things like that which add up through the day. Casper Ruud just having a conversation about his towels. I think he's not sure if he put it in the wrong box or if...
I think he did.
He's got a bit confused.
Yeah, he got his box wrong there. He went and put it in Zverev's box, I presume.
So these towel boxes were one of the innovations that came in post-COVID, post the pandemic and some of the rules to ensure hygiene on the court.
So, the first point of Sasha Zverev's first service game. Sees an exchange on the backhand side. There's a slice from Ruud, who goes over his backhand now. Lots of height, good depth as well. Mid-court ball now. He's playing a drop shot. It's a beauty.
Well, you don't get to be as good as Casper Ruud has got to be on clay without being able to hit a decent drop shot. And that was more than decent from the Norwegian. Had a lot of air under it, but once it landed on the clay, it just skidded off as if it had places to be, things to do.
Yeah, it was beautifully executed on the forehand side. So, love 15. Zverev winds himself up, looks to go down the middle, misses. Ruud stretching on the forehand, got the ball back into court. Now, there's a bit of a battle between three ball boys as to who's going to pick that one up. They're very keen, those boys and girls. They're also extremely good. The second, oh, it's a double fault. It's gone long with the second serve. And that second serve, mentioned it before, I'm sure we'll mention it again. It can be vulnerable. Always been the case. Every player has something that will bedevil them throughout their career. It's a better serve. It kicked up a bit at the backhand of Ruud. Forehand cross court from Zverev, who's there again, going down the line. gently struck double hander from Ruud. Now he flattens it out a bit to the backhand of Zverev, and that flies long. Has a rather accusing look at his racket. And it's love 40. Three break points now for Casper Ruud, having saved one on his own serve. He's a long way back as well, swaying gently from side to side. Aeroplane goes by somewhere overhead.
I think it might be a helicopter.
Oh. Good night. How can you tell that? Do you see it?
I can hear it.
Well, how can... It's very clever that I couldn't tell the difference necessarily between a helicopter and a plane. Your ears are very attuned.
Good right. Headphones.
Clips the top of the tape. Zverev, in comes Ruud. He's got a great chance here, and Zverev can pass him. He can't. He's gone wide on the backhand. Ruud's broken to love. We've got helicopters flying overhead. At least we think they're helicopters. And we've got a Norwegian going ahead very early in this match.
Well, I think there have been quite a lot of helicopters around Paris generally. Joe Biden has been over here, hasn't he? Commemorating, I think, the King of Great Britain and Northern Ireland was here as well.
Yeah.
Commemorating, of course, the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings. So there's been quite a lot of very important people here. More important even than Marcus and me.
I'm not sure that's possible.
Not the Empress, obviously.
No. I mean, she's got her own fleet of helicopters. Ruud's come in behind her first serve and got just a little overexcited, perhaps, with what should have been a relatively straightforward forehand winner down the line. He overhit it, so it's love 15.
It would have been interesting to note, I'm sure these itineraries get secured months and months in advance, but if Coco Gauff had made the final, whether the president might have decided to stop and watch that, we'll never know.
Well, he could stay for a doubles final now. Mid-court ball, and Ruud's on the attack here. He's forcing Zverev further and further back, and now Ruud comes in and drives away a forehand volley.
Well, there's not a great history of American presidents coming to watch American players and it working out all that well. Do you recall when President Clinton came here to watch Andre Agassi, and Agassi looked up, noticed he was there, and got completely distracted?
Yeah. Two love, 15 all. Ruud winds himself up, goes down the middle, serves an ace. 208 kilometres an hour.
We think of Casper Ruud, don't we, as this, as I said, the counterpuncher, the retriever, the speedster. He's got a very good serve as well.
Yeah, I was having a look at their respective service stats. I'll come back to that in a moment. Ruud goes to the backhand. Cross-court return from Zverev is there again. Backhand to backhand, cross-court. The angle's changed down the line by Ruud. Now he's going to go for the off forehand. Zverev's having to defend. He slices deep to the forehand of Ruud again. Ruud on top of this point. Can he maintain the advantage? Well, he's slicing low, and now Zverev's winding himself up for the inside-out forehand. That slice back down the line by Ruud to the forehand side of the German, who's being lured in, decides not to come, now has to go back. Plays one of those, as Gigi would say, squash shots. And he was being pushed further and further behind his baseline on his forehand side, and he eventually nets.
Well, this is a strong start from Casper Ruud. And Zverev really paid for a pretty mediocre game on his own serve in the previous game. And Ruud keen to consolidate that break.
And you mentioned that Ruud's speedy, and you're absolutely right. And he's been telling us that he's lost 4 kilos this year, which may not sound a lot, but it was 5% of his body weight. And he says it's made him that much quicker and more effective on clay courts in particular. He's playing that forehand now, whipping it to the forehand side of Zverev. Low, short angle from him. Big forehand from Ruud as he made it. He has, you know. Oh, that was a belter. Flew off Zverev's baseline. Clean winner, 13 minutes gone. Rather similar start to the first semi-final. Don't forget, Jannik Sinner was 4-love up in that one. Casper Ruud finds himself 3 to the good after 13 minutes.
I would love it if 5 kilos was that percentage of my body weight. Yeah, he was saying that he'd worked hard on the gym because he thought he needed to get stronger and build up his muscle a bit so he could hit the ball harder. And he did that, and it worked very well. But what he found is it actually slowed him down a bit because he had more body weight to carry around the tennis court.
You don't need to lose 5 kilos, Elena.
You'd be very careful here, Marcus Buckland. This could be a long evening.
I did have an... Yeah, let's move swiftly on.
Sometimes you have to self-edit.
Help me, Stefan.
You just find that reverse gear.
I tell you what, I'll go on to safer territory. I was mentioning the service stats of the respective players. Well, Zverev is second in those rankings. On average, he gets 72% of his first serves in. He wins 74% of first serve points, 54% of second serve points. You find Casper Ruud in 15th place. On average, he gets 64% of his first serves in, and then he wins 72 and also 54% respectively, which are pretty respectable.
Yes, it's not an eye-catching serve. It's not a serve that people talk about, like the Zverev serve. It's not explosive in the same way. He possibly may not get so many free points on it, but it's incredibly effective. And like so many areas of Casper Ruud's game, it's very, very consistent.
So, Zverev needs to settle. Remember, he did have a break point in Ruud's opening service game. Couldn't take it. And got broken to love. And now here he is serving at love three and missing his first serve. And by the way, in terms of the returns, well, Zverev is down at 37th place. Ruud, 16th. So could be significant as well, even though he's got to deal with that big serve from Zverev. He went for a big forehand return there, but it just went long.
Well, he's in a happy position, isn't he, with that break to the good. He can now just take a swing at some of these Zverev serves, find a bit of range on his return of serve. The pressure now all on the German.
Who's looking up, throwing up the ball, and then watching as it goes into the net. So he needs to get that first serve going. The returns, by the way, are measured on the number of first serve returns you get into play, and the second, and then the number of return games you win, and the number of break points that you convert. That is a double fault. Another double fault from Sasha Zverev, the second already in only his second service game. So he's only won one of first 6 points that they have played on his serve. That's just pushed, well, that was a good serve to be fair, out wide to the Ruud forehand. He tried to just push it back into court, block it back into the court. Didn't have sufficient momentum to get over the net.
Hayden says the sound of a helicopter tends to be much choppier. Presumably that's why they call them choppers.
Yeah.
Than that of a plane, because you can hear the rotors.
Well, I'm going to have to get my ears tested. I feel ace from Zverev, by the way, out wide to the backhand. 209 kilometres an hour, so he follows up his second double fault with his first ace.
Yanni says we're his favourites, by the way.
Oh.
Two favourite broadcasters.
That's nice. Sure, I heard him saying that earlier about Gigi and Antoine.
Yeah, but he knows how needy they are.
Yeah.
Not like you and I.
Oh, we're not needy. But can we have a few more emails and tweets like that, please? 40-15. So Zverev poised to get onto the board a little later than he would have liked. Several birds flutter past us in our commentary box. Backhand reply from Ruud is down the middle of the court. Now he's onto his double-hander. Both players playing pretty centrally here. Zverev will now wind up a forehand across court. So too does Ruud. Back down the middle from Zverev. He's there again, going over his backhand side, up the line from Zverev. The forehand cross court, Zverev very quick to get across his baseline. Tried to club a running forehand down the line, but just missed. And Zverev is on the board.
Vishal says, good evening from India. Today we got our first monsoon rains. Well, hopefully that's a bit of a relief from the extreme heat that you've had there. I enjoyed the Alcaraz match. I think Zverev versus Ruud may go to five sets. Casper Ruud has an edge. I wouldn't be stunned if this match went to five sets.
I'd be quite surprised if it didn't. He's got the edge at the moment. He's got that early break. He's serving at 3-1. Serving to the forehand. And that return had a short angle to it. What does Ruud do? He comes up with an even better, shorter angle with the forehand across court.
Susanna says, not to be rude, but I'm rooting for Sasha.
Oh, very good.
I think we've done quite well at avoiding rude jokes of both kinds.
We have. I was nearly very rude to you a few moments ago, but I won't make that mistake again. Promise. Oh, gosh. That first serve flew into the middle part of the net and diverted alarmingly into the crowd. Second serve is to the forehand of Zverev, who's almost standing in the crowd. He's so far back for these returns. Both players are. And that forehand exchange ends in an error from the Norwegian. I mentioned that he's attempting to become the seventh man to make it to three consecutive finals in Paris. Big names make up that list. Some of the very, very best in the business, including, of course, Rafael Nadal. Oh, that's another terrific first serve, angling away from the Zverev forehand. He was nowhere near that terrific angle he got on that serve, 186 kilometres an hour. So it was quick and it was precision perfect as well.
Well, and Zverev just seems at a loss at how to return those serves. Casper Ruud will be very, very delighted with the start that he's made here. Zverev very much less so.
Misses with that one, going out wide. Zverev not coming forward at all for the second serve. Watches it. Backhand across court. Big forehand from Ruud. Even bigger one from Zverev. Now he's onto his double hander. So too is Casper. They'll exchange backhand to backhand. The slice. Will Zverev come in? No, he hit a big forehand and then retreated, but it forces the error off Ruud's racket as he tried to go back across court.
Better play from Zverev there, just getting the ball nice and deep, pulling Casper Ruud out of court. And it's not easy to do that against a Norwegian because, as we've said, he is so quick. He retrieves like a Yorkshire Terrier, doesn't he, going after a ball.
30-all. It's a good serve right onto the line and he makes full use. It's the old 1-2. Excellent serve and he came in behind a short return and hammered away a forehand winner. Talking of dogs, a couple of days ago we had lovely Nepia in here and today we met another beautiful dog who works with the blind commentator just a couple of booths along. Todd. Very sweet.
Todd had had a very long, quite hot day and was having a little snooze.
No wonder when you've got a fur coat on like that on a day like this. Right, forehand down the middle from Ruud. Now he's going to go across court shortish to the forehand side of Zverev, then the off forehand from Ruud. As Zverev running first one way and then the other behind his baseline. Backhand across court. In fact, it's down the middle of the court. Hooked back down the middle from Zverev, who winds up a big backhand. The short angle from Ruud. And Zverev goes wide, loses the game, and has a first conversation with his father, Alexander Sr., in the box. Not happy, trailing by 4-1. And just to go through that list of the six players who have made it to three consecutive finals in Paris. I mean, we know what Rafa's done here, but it's just worth reiterating that he made the final in 2005, 6, 7 and 8. And then he did it 2010, 11, 12, 13 and 14. And then he did it again 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21 and 22. Ridiculous.
I can't believe he missed a couple of years there.
Shocking. What was he doing? Novak did it three times in a row between 2014 and 2016. Roger Federer did it four times, 2006, 7, 8 and 9. Jim Courier, who I did see here earlier in the week, I presume he's working for American television, he was a three times in a row finalist in 91, 92 and 93. Ivan Lendl, four times in a row, 84, 85, 86, and 87. And the legend, Bjorn Borg, 78, 79, 80, and 81.
As you said, not bad people to be in the same conversation with. I think we have to give a nod to the consistency at this tournament of both these players. I think to be in four consecutive semi-finals, as Alexander Zverev has been, that's also very impressive.
Yeah. All those semis, but he is desperate to become only the second German man in the Open era to reach the final here, after Michael Stich in 1996, who lost to Yevgeny Kafelnikov. Serving at 1-4, he's clipped the top of the tape, as you heard. He'll get another first serve because the ball landed inside the box. I was a bit surprised. I thought, then again, Boris Becker obviously wasn't at his best on a clay court. Came close to making the final on a few occasions. Wow. Ace. Rude just stood stock still and watched that one fly past him at 205 kilometres an hour.
And of course, if you go back a little bit further, pre the Open era, 1968, of course, you go back to Gottfried von Kramm.
Yes.
Who was a contemporary of Fred Perry.
Yeah, and Chris Bowers.
I knew there was going to be an age gag coming.
So I can be rude about anyone that's not in the room, just not you, Lady E.
Fill your boots.
Okay. 1-4, 15, love. Rude with a backhand return that drifts wide. Helena mentioned the one Grand Slam final that Sasha Zverev has reached, and what painful memories he must have of that US Open clash against Dominic Thiem in 2020 when he was two sets up, eventually lost in a fifth set tiebreak. Serving now to the backhand. He served for the match as well that day. Both of them did before they went into the tiebreak. Zverev backhand sliced back into play by Rude. Zverev's come to the net and he's putting away a beautiful angled volley.
And there are one or two similarities to me between Dominic Thiem and Casper Ruud in their style of play. They're not like for like. But I was thinking ahead of this match, looking back at that US Open final and thinking, actually, Casper Ruud has some similarities, doesn't he? That retrieval, great court coverage. Dominic Thiem, of course, the cornerstone of his game was that incredible one-handed backhand.
High return that Zverev allows to bounce, and then he clubs it away on his forehand side, so he holds to love.
And but,
I was going to say, Ruud still holds the advantage at 4-2. I apologise, Lady E.
Well, I apologise too.
No. I think it was my fault.
I'm more sorry than you are.
Simply not possible.
I was just going to say that, spot the English people saying sorry to each other at length. I was just going to say that we said goodbye to Dominic Thiem here, of course, at Roland Garros. He lost in qualifying, got a very good send-off on court. And a player whose achievements, I think, were somewhat lessened by injury.
Yeah.
That wrist injury really ended his career somewhat prematurely.
Definitely.
Certainly robbed him of I think, potentially a title here. You know, the post-Nadal era that we now seem to find ourselves in, if Thiem at full strength and full tilt, would have been a danger here.
Yeah, so sad that essentially soon after that US Open, he had problems with the wrist. That's a beautiful backhand winner down the line from Zverev. So Ruud's now 4-2 and 15-all. And he's fought tooth and nail to try and get back into the higher echelons of the game, but has had to admit defeat. It can be such a tough sport. I think of Robin Söderling as well, who famously beat Rafael Nadal here and was at the peak of his powers when he was struck down by illness. Lunged backhand return from Zverev, who's going to now come racing in to try to get to a drop shot with a +1 from Ruud, and he can't get anywhere near it. Dan says, hello from Chicago. The entire Roland Garros radio crew is the best. Can you take this show on the road? Says, I'll be going through a withdrawal after the final, as we all will. Dan, you get so involved in events like this for a couple of weeks, and suddenly it's over.
Yes, I mean, it's the most fun work weeks, and I use the word work advisedly for all of us. And you guys, with your tweets and your emails, you are a massive, massive part of that.